Large golden letters snake around the earth, set against the starry background of space. The letters reveal themselves to read Universal, an MCA company. A grim Dickensian warehouse at night. Dandy Pup Pet Supply. Inside are rows of cages containing dogs of different sizes and breeds.
Need puppies.
Okay. All right, come on.
The two henchmen, Balding Vernon and Chubby Harvey, scurry out. Looking down on them from an office overlooking the warehouse is a slender figure with thick glasses that magnify his eyes, Dr. Varnick. Universal Pictures presents. The sun shines on a small town, tree-lined high street. An Ivan Reitman production. A barber sweeps the doorway of his shop. A Brian Levant film. A department store owner wheels a display of wagons outside. In a pet shop, customers bill and coo over a St. Bernard's puppy. Charles Grodin.
Hi. Oh, isn't that the sweetest?
Beethoven. The puppy's in a sawdust-lined glass box in the shop window. Some boys gather at the window, smiling at the puppy. Bonnie Hunt.
He's cool.
I think he likes us.
Yeah.
Dean Jones. A couple select another puppy. Oliver Platt. Stanley Tucci. Lots of puppies compete for attention, and a boy picks out a tiny brown one as the St. Bernard licks the glass. A little girl presses her nose against the window, and the St. Bernard paws at the glass.
Hi, puppy.
No, absolutely not.
Her mum drags her away. Nicole Tom, Christopher Castile, Sarah Rose Carr, David Duchovny, Patricia Heaton, Laurel Cronin. Music by Randy Edelman. A biker woman comes into the shop.
Oh, how big's he gonna be?
St. Bernard's get to be about 150
pounds. I got a junkyard. I need a big, mean junkyard dog. Let me see him.
Come here.
Associate producer Sheldon Kahn.
He looks good and mean.
I don't know, he's pretty sweet.
You can make any dog mean. You damn little beast! God!
The St. Bernard puppy pees on her.
You got any pit bulls?
At night, the high street is quiet, and the puppy is awake in his glass box. A van pulls up outside the pet shop.
Come on, it's a pushover. I cased the place. What about the cops? What about video surveillance? You're crazy. You're just gonna walk up just like this? What about the alarm?
Harvey looks around nervously as Vernon puts his hand through the broken window to open the door. Co-producer Gordon Webb. Vernon exposes an infrared beam with cigarette smoke.
All you gotta do is step over.
Okay. There, see? In and out, quiet as a mouse. Okay. Get some dogs.
Executive producer Ivan Reitman.
Come on, puppy. We're just going for a little car ride. Oh, look. I'll get some of these little ones, too. Come here, you little puppies. Here we go. Come on, puppy. Nice puppy.
The dog thieves look around anxiously.
I've stepped in the beam.
Vernon grabs the St. Bernard and the hapless thieves each carry a basket of puppies into the back of the van. Harvey gets into the back of the van, which is lined with cages. And Vernon calmly drives off. Produced by Joe Medjuk, Michael C. Gross. Written by Edmund Dantes and Amy Holden-Jones. The van turns off the high street as the police arrive at the pet shop. Directed by Brian Levant. In the back of the van, Harvey puts the puppies in individual cages. A Jack Russell called Sparky paws at the door of his cage, watched by the yapping St. Bernard. Harvey goes up front.
Hey, didn't I tell you? Doesn't it beat taking strays off the street?
You are such a genius.
Get off it!
Harvey hugs Vernon, who drives up the curb, the jolt releasing Sparky from his cage.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit excited. That's my very first felony. I've committed a lot of misdemeanors, but I do believe that was my very first felony.
Sparky paused at the door of the St. Bernard's cage, and the door comes open. The St. Bernard jumps out of his cage, making the other caged puppies excitable.
Why are they barking?
They're dogs.
I know they're dogs. Go in the back and check, Harvey.
Harvey goes through the adjoining door.
Okay, doggies, what's the racket back? Hey! Okay, doggies, back in your house. Back in your house, doggies. Here, doggies, nice doggies.
Sparky opens the rear door.
No, doggies, don't jump.
Sparky jumps out.
Bad dog, puppy. Good puppy. Good. Bad puppy. Don't jump, then. Good puppy. Don't jump, puppy. Bad. Stop the van! Stop the van!
Oh, what is it? Why did you want me to stop?
What's the matter? Hurry to get in the way! You, come back here! Come here! I'll give you a bone! Come back here, you little runt!
Vernon chases Sparky.
Come here, you!
Sparky runs off out of sight. Wearing black and white cowskin cowboy boots, Vernon strides back to the van past an upturned trash can that the St. Bernard is hiding in. Sparky stops and looks back at the St. Bernard. The St. Bernard stays put in his hiding place, so his fellow escapee scampers off into the night. The next morning, a bin lorry comes down the suburban street where the dogs made their escape. It stops at the St. Bernard's hiding place, and he suddenly wakes up. He scampers off into a hedge before he can be discovered. He pads along by a white picket fence that opens out into a front path where a white cat is sitting. The cat lunges at him and he doesn't hang around. He bounds up to a gardener with a leaf blower, but the blast of air makes him recoil. George Newton emerges from his neat detached house with its immaculate front lawn. The St. Bernard puppy watches him from a hedge. George spots the paperboy approaching and tries to get his attention before the boy carelessly tosses the paper onto the lawn. As fair-haired 40-something George gathers up the newspaper, the St. Bernard makes a break from the hedge for the open front door. George is absorbed in his newspaper as he heads back to the house, and the St. Bernard follows him, unnoticed. George stops at the front door, and as he turns back to look out, the St. Bernard slips behind him and into the house, heading straight upstairs. The St. Bernard goes through the open door of the master bedroom and underneath the bed as George's wife Alice gets up and inadvertently steps on her son, Ted, who's sleeping on the floor.
Ooh. Oh, Ted, I'm sorry. What's wrong? Did you have another nightmare?
Yeah. Mom, it's Saturday and it's 7:02. Do we really have to get up?
Yep. You heard your father. I know. Daddy's rules.
Remaining unseen, the St. Bernard scampers out across the hallway and into the bedroom of teenaged Rice.
That's it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Mom, I have a newsflash for you. It's Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
This sucks. Why do we have to get up so early on a Saturday?
Ask your father. Don't say sucks.
The bathroom's mine!
Unruffled by the chaos, the St. Bernard goes into the room of the youngest, Emily, and licks her face, waking her up.
Poppy! Hi!
All three kids look at her expectantly, and she goes downstairs to George.
Honey. I take back almost everything I ever said about you being cold and insensitive.
Dad, I take back anything I ever said about you, too.
Dad, I have everything I ever wanted. I owe you big time.
Why?
Daddy, can we call him Fred?
George stares in horror at the new arrival.
We can't have a dog.
Honey, you can't show a child a puppy and then take it away 2 minutes later.
I didn't show a child a puppy. It's obviously lost. You occupy the kids, I'll run it down to the pound.
Oh, no. No way. The owner doesn't claim it, it'll be destroyed. I'm not gonna let
it. If we keep it, the house will be destroyed.
Honey, it's just a dog. Millions of people have dogs.
Oh, no, not people like me. Dogs sniff, they lick, they chew, they drool, they scratch. Alice, they have parasites.
Oh, God, yeah. That's
the kids will lose interest. I'll have to take care of it. It'll grow to be enormous. It'll take over the yard. The bushes will die. The lawn will look terrible. And when the dog finally settles down, it'll die. And everybody will be so upset. We'll have to go get another puppy. The whole thing will start all over again. Do you understand?
No, honey. Could you be more specific?
Alice, I really could use a little support
okay,
here.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. How should we handle this?
Go tell the kids.
They go outside where the kids are playing with the puppy, George looking awkward and uncomfortable.
He loves me the most.
Oh, yes.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Daddy, can he sleep in my room?
No, he's sleeping in my room.
Dream on.
What? I'm the oldest. He's sleeping in my room.
He's not sleeping in anyone's room. Just listen to me a minute. We are people here. I mean, we are goldfish people. We're ant farm people. We're not dog people.
Dad, why can't you just give us a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, you're always saying that we have to have responsibility.
I know. That's true.
George looks to Alice, who, with arms folded, raises her eyebrows.
All right, it's my decision. I mean, I've decided.
I knew it.
Rice glares at her dad resentfully as the puppy licks Ted. Emily has tears in her eyes and Alice smiles as George becomes increasingly uncomfortable.
You better think of something to name him, because when I come home and he destroys my house, I want to know what to call him. This is temporary. This is just temporary until we find the owner.
Okay. The dog's name will be...
What is it? What's his name gonna be? You can't change it. That's the rules.
Okay. Emily, did you do your name in a crayon, hon? All righty. Well, I don't think words for parts of the body make really very good names, hon.
But he's got one of those. I looked.
I'm sure he does, but I don't think that Daddy wants to stand on the front porch at night yelling that out.
But that's what you call Uncle Richard.
Okay, the dog's name will be...
She pulls another name out of the hat and turns to George disapprovingly. He grins mischievously.
You asked for my input.
What?
Nothing. Let's just call the dog Rover.
Mom, please.
Come on, MC
Ultimate
Hammer.
Warrior.
MC Hammer.
Ultimate
MC Hammer? No, Rover.
He doesn't like any of those names.
Oh, right, like he can really read his mind.
Right. Emily, honey, what does the dog want his name to be?
You know, this is ridiculous.
It's a dog. He doesn't have preferences. You could call him Ding Dong Head. He wouldn't know the difference.
Yes, he would. He'll tell us what he wants to be called.
Beethoven.
Sitting at the piano, Emily plays with Beethoven. George staples a found poster to a tree. He's done the same to every single tree on the street. The kids encourage Beethoven to roll over. George puts down newspaper on the floor of the house, but as he's doing it, Beethoven pees in his briefcase. As the kids play with Beethoven, George is scrubbing a stain off the carpet. In the back garden, George puts Beethoven in a kennel inside a chain fence enclosure. Beethoven is now bigger, and George has to stop him from drinking water from a goldfish bowl on the kitchen table. Beethoven scratches up the back door, and in the back garden, all three kids play happily with him. A larger Beethoven is moved off a grubby armchair, and George cleans it, as elsewhere, Alice is laden down with dog food. The kids take Beethoven wearing a saddle out for Halloween. At Thanksgiving, as the family closed their eyes in prayer, Beethoven helps himself to the turkey. George pours a sackful of dog food into a storage bin. The family go out for a bike ride, and George has a trailer on his for Beethoven. An incredulous George retrieves a shoe from beneath his bed and pours dog drool out of it. The family file into the house from smallest Emily to the largest George, each carrying increasingly larger sacks of dog food. George is overwhelmed by his and can't see. The posters peel off the trees as George walks Beethoven in the rain, and in sunshine the kids play with a fully grown Beethoven. George arrives home with huge muddy paw prints over his suit. He arrives home on a rainy day, and as he shakes off his umbrella, he spots something that instantly shocks him. Growing increasingly angry, George follows a trail of devastation and muddy footprints through the house. As he goes upstairs, he puts his hand on the banister. Dog slobber. He finds a wet, muddy Beethoven on a wet, muddy bed. Beethoven slowly stands up. Beethoven shakes off the rain, showering George. Our framed family photo gets the same treatment. A post lady balances letters in the letterbox and waves to Beethoven, who collects the letters.
If this business is going to grow, we need more money. They're talking about 25. I said, that's not going to do me any good. They said, no. I said, no. I mean, if this thing is going to take off, you know, I need some capital, not a Band-Aid. They said, so what kind of figures are we talking about? I said, well, you know, 150 sounds like a pretty good neighborhood to me.
Did you really say
that? Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a business. What am I going to do with 25? 25, you know, advertising, you know, maybe some signs or anything. But, you know, but I'm optimistic.
Ted, get down here.
Where's my shoes?
I don't know, honey. Just backtrack.
But I'm optimistic because, you know, I caught that look on their faces when they were going over the book.
Daddy,
so, you know, what?
He wants you to scratch his head.
I don't want to scratch his head, you know. Back off.
But he wants you to.
Well, honey, sometimes we don't get what we want. That's not the way the world works. If I don't get this deal, I'll kill myself.
Honey, come on. Don't talk like that in front of the kids.
You know, if I can just get them to smell this stuff, because air fresheners are such a visceral product.
I got a great idea.
What?
Hey, can I have karate lessons?
You know, I didn't get any bacon. What do you want karate lessons for?
Brenda Feinberg's even littler than me, and she's got a green belt.
Why don't we just skip the lessons and get you the belt?
Beethoven's eyes widen, and he snaffles George's bacon.
Oh, you know, come on, get it.
Oh,
he's slimy. He's slow. No, look at this. No.
Don't worry about it.
I've got dog drool on my pants. I can't meet with the Vanguard Capital with dog drool on my pants.
Honey, why don't you just change your pants?
I'm going to change my pants, Alice, but I had a schedule, and now it's gone. I'll never have that schedule again.
Just change your pants, George.
I'm going to change my pants, Alice, but if I change my pants, I got to change my jacket. If I change my jacket, I got to change my shirt. If I change my shirt, I got to change my tie. I have to change my belt. I've got to change my shoes. I've got to change my socks.
Just change your pants, George.
He throws them down to her. As Rice runs out of the house on her way to school, Ted is hiding behind a tree in the front garden, watching three boys waiting for the school bus.
3, 4, 5.
Once they're on the bus, Ted breaks cover and dashes on too.
Drool all over me, for God's sakes. Come on, you're so smart. What am I telling you about? Listen to me.
George shuts Beethoven in his enclosure, but as George walks away, Beethoven scrambles through a hole under the back fence. Alice is watering the garden.
Bye, honey. Sorry. Good luck.
She accidentally sprays water through the open car window. Beethoven sets off from home alone. The lights change at a pedestrian crossing, and he crosses the road on his way into town. He trots up to a table outside a restaurant and finishes up the leftovers on a plate. Firemen give him some water from a hose. He peers through the window of a bakery and a lady behind the counter smiles and waves at him. She holds up a pastry and he licks his lips. A kitchen worker empties scraps into a dumpster at the back of a Chinese restaurant and the escapee Jack Russell, Sparky, feeds off them. Beethoven comes along carrying the pastry in his mouth. Beethoven lays it down for Sparky, who leaps from the dumpster to tuck in. Later, in a park, a little girl shares her ice cream with Beethoven. They take it in turns to have a lick. At Valley Vista School, Rice is watching some guys play basketball.
Oh.
Smiling, she watches the sweaty guy who's just scored a basket as he grabs his towel close to where she's sitting.
Hi, Mark.
He ignores her, and Rice's smile fades as she watches him talking to a glamorous girl. Outside Newton's air fresheners, a worker is cleaning the nostril of a giant nose mounted on the wall.
Air fresheners are the 12th fastest growing area in all of household hygiene.
Fascinating.
See, all of these use a two-dip process that guarantees a longer smell life. Here, smell this. That smell nice? That smell? See, we feel if we get the right amount of capital, we can take this place right to the top. I don't mean just successful. I mean dominant. Here's a favorite. Here's a favorite. Look at this. New leather.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that cute?
I could use that in my Beamer.
I could use it in my Beamer.
Well, we feel a lot of people could use them in their Beamers.
Except I wouldn't want to hang it from my rearview mirror. Ugh, tacky.
Oh, no. There's Velcro on the back. You know, people hide them. A lot of people just put it under their dashboard.
Ingenious. Bravo, Newton. Kudos.
Thank you.
George smiles obsequiously at his sharp-suited visitors. At school, Ted's eating his lunch outdoors with other nerdy kids who scatter as the three kids from the bus stop approach.
Hey.
They stop bespectacled Ted from leaving.
Hey, Teddy boy.
Oh, that's a nice lunch you got there.
A veritable nutrition lesson.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget to wash it down with a big glass of milk.
See you on the bus.
They pour milk over his sandwich and ruffle his hair as they leave. He immediately straightens out his hair. Beethoven bounds into Rice's school. He stops and looks at the kids swarming around, then spots Rice running towards him.
Hi. The Sipkins made me stay after.
She perches on a low wall beside him.
Hold on a minute.
She unwraps the Twinkie and he wolfs it down.
Good boy.
Rice spots Mark and a friend talking to the glamorous girl.
See over there? That's Donna Ditsworth. She's the most popular girl in the whole school. Her hair is perfect. The teeth are perfect. Even Mark thinks she's perfect.
As Donna waves goodbye to Mark, Beethoven makes a move.
Beethoven!
He grabs a stick, then pads up to handsome, dark-haired Mark and his friend.
What? I was gonna come here, man.
Hey, check out Vita.
What a cool-looking dog.
I bet you want to play fetch. Come on, you gotta give me the stick if you want me to throw it. Hey, where are we going?
Beethoven leads Mark and his friend over to Rice, who smiles nervously.
Cool dog. Is it yours? What's his name?
Beethoven.
Wow. Hi, Beethoven.
Hey, Beethoven.
Cool dog. Good boy. Well, see you later, Rice.
As he walks away, Rice looks ecstatic as she pets Beethoven.
Yes! He knows my name!
No question about it, George. You've built yourself something pretty impressive here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, you're interested?
Absolutely. We've smelled a lot of stuff, Giorgio, but I think I speak for myself as well as the Breemeister when I say, yours smells the best.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
George, we're going to crunch some numbers, and maybe we can get together later this week.
That would be great. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks.
We're looking forward to it.
I'll get it.
Thanks.
Ciao, Giorgio.
Ciao.
Ciao, George.
Ciao, Bello.
Ciao, Bello.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao. Ciao.
George does a little victory dance and punches the air. Beethoven returns home, getting into the house through an open basement window. He goes up the basement steps and through to the kitchen, where he helps himself to a cookie off a plate. He takes it through to the study and settles down to eat it. On the school bus, the three bullies gather round Ted.
How you doing, Theodore?
Nice backpack, Teddy.
Can I see it?
Hey! Whoops! Sorry.
Oh,
why do you guys
bad.
Always pick on me?
Because you're a little four-eyed dork.
They play catch with his glasses.
Oh, I'm open!
Oh. Hey, where are you going, Teddy?
Yeah, let's go!
The bus pulls up on Ted's street and he puts his glasses back on as he hurries off the bus with the bullies right behind him.
Wait up, Theodore. We want to walk you home.
Ted drops his bag during the chase and they catch up with him. Beethoven sits up alert and goes to the window to see the bullies around Ted. Beethoven jumps out of an open window. He pounds up behind Ted.
Sorry, Ted.
They're frightened off by Beethoven, but Ted thinks it's because he raised his fists.
And don't come back!
Beethoven flits away, leaving Ted unaware of his intervention. That evening, Ted poses bare-chested in front of the bathroom mirror, striking some bodybuilder poses and beating his chest, looking very pleased with himself. Rice is sitting on her bed with Beethoven.
It doesn't mean that he likes me. But he's gotta like me better than before he said my name. You think he could like me, Beethoven? I know you like me.
Good night, sweetheart. You, out!
Good night, Beethoven.
Night, honey.
Good night, Dad.
She cuddles her pillow, looking lost in thought.
Mark.
George opens up Beethoven's enclosure.
All right, you, in here, in here. You sleep in here, I sleep there.
He enters obediently.
Oh, well, see, that's very nice. That's very nice. That's progress. I appreciate that. Thank you. Good night.
Beethoven settles down in his kennel. Later, George and Alice are lying in bed.
Honey, you know, ever since you started looking for investors, you just seem...
Well, hey, you wanted us to expand.
Well, I wanted you to be happy, and...
Yeah, you even said you'd come back to work.
I said I'd give you one wish for your birthday.
Well, I wish you'd come back to work.
George, there's other things that are important. I like being home when the kids get home from school. I don't want them to come home to some stranger.
We'll get a great babysitter. We'll get somebody really reliable that the kids just love.
Beethoven climbs through the hole under the enclosure fence. He goes through the cat flap-like basement window and goes to the kitchen, snaffling some food off the table. He goes through to the living room, and as he settles down on the sofa, his paw hits the TV remote.
In the third such occurrence this month, in the past year, we've seen a 500% increase in the reported incidents of stolen pets. Police believe an animal kidnapping ring is at work.
That's Newsbreak, and now back to the Wolfman.
Did you hear something? No, I heard something downstairs.
He impassively watches an old black-and-white horror film showing a man suddenly growing thick hair on his feet and legs. In the film, the Wolfman creeps through a forest at night, as George comes down the stairs. Hearing George approaching, Beethoven flits away, leaving George to discover the TV on. Bemused, George picks up the remote. Upstairs, Alice adjusts the thermostat in the hallway, and as she goes off towards Emily's room, Beethoven comes up the stairs. As George makes his way upstairs, he stops to straighten a picture on the wall. Alice puts a blanket over a sleeping Emily and leans down to give her a kiss. Beethoven is in George and Alice's bed.
You were right. The TV was on. I don't know. I hope I'm doing the right thing. I mean, it feels like a good idea to expand, but I don't want to do it at everybody's expense. We have to get somebody wonderful to take care of the kids. There's no question about that. Sometimes it's hard to know what the right thing is. Boy, you know, no matter how many showers I take, I still smell Beethoven all over me. You okay? So quiet. You're not mad at me, are you? Oh, baby. Oh, baby. It's not even Saturday night. Oh, Alice, you drive me crazy. Oh, is Daddy's little girl been naughty?
Nice. George? What are you talking about?
Alice comes in, and George slowly turns round to find himself face to face with Beethoven.
Ah! How dare you! How dare you, crazy! I thought that you were going to get away with that!
He spots Beethoven's escape route.
That's how you do it. I want to stop to that. You ruined my life. You ruined my furniture. You've ruined my clothes. My family likes you more than they like me. Why? All you do is drool and shed and eat. But you're never getting out of there again. Never. Do we understand each other? Do we?
George stands rooted to the spot in front of Beethoven's enclosure as the lawn sprinklers come on. George trudges back to the house. In the park, Sparky takes a can to a tramp rooting through a bin.
Hey, little buddy, how you doing? Thank you, good work.
Later, Sparky goes after a can that's dragged by a string straight into a net that traps him. Later, Harvey and Vernon unload the van.
Vernon! Come on, Harvey.
Can I say something?
What?
I really don't like it when you tease a dog. What are you, some kind of animal lover?
They carry a caged Sparky into the warehouse. In Varnick's office, a balding businessman opens a case to reveal a revolver and a box of ammunition.
We've developed a new type of ammunition. Explodes on contact. We'd like you to use this revolver for the tests. We want to know the extent of the damage at close range.
You want to know how messy it is?
I presume you can get dogs with big skulls for the tests. Newfoundlands, Great Danes, St. Bernards.
Large dogs are difficult to come by. Harder to manage.
The businessman smiles knowingly and hands over a bulging envelope to Varnick. Varnick opens the envelope and fans out a wad of cash.
I'm sure we'll be able to handle it.
He smiles. A crowded waiting room at an animal hospital with pets and their owners. In an office at the hospital, Varnick takes off his suit jacket and slips into a white coat. He glances at some notes, then looks through a window and smiles as he sees George and the kids in a consulting room with Beethoven.
Mr. Newton?
Yes?
I'm Dr. Varnum. And this must be Beethoven. Oh, he's a magnificent animal. Magnificent. Magnificent. In for his shots?
That's right.
Well, he'll be a little groggy this evening.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Perhaps you should leave him overnight for observation.
I'd be happy to.
Dad, it's just a shot. He'll be okay.
Yeah, come on, Dad. Let's take him home. He's scared and he wants to go home.
Mr. Newton, I wonder if I might have a word with you privately.
Sure.
Good. Maggie, take good care of these nice people.
Dad, they aren't going to hurt Beethoven, are they?
Honey, nothing could hurt Beethoven.
When Beethoven spots the nurse preparing a syringe, his eyes widen and he faints. Oh. Emily and the nurse are shocked.
Please sit down.
Mr. Newton, have you noticed anything strange about your dog lately?
I mean, he's destroyed my life. Wish I was kidding.
It's very funny. St. Bernards have been heavily overbred. There's been quite a bit written about certain behavioral problems with the breed.
What kind of problems?
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've had to put down several of these animals over the past 6 months. They have a tendency to turn on people, attack without provocation. Mention this because you have children.
George looks taken aback. Later, he's pensive as he watches the children playing in the back garden amidst the sprinklers with Beethoven.
George, come on. Beethoven isn't even remotely dangerous. He'd never hurt the kids. He might take a bite out of you, though.
First snarl, first any kind of weirdness, and he's gone.
Weirdness? What should I watch for, hun? Wearing my clothes around the house?
He glares at her.
You guys are gonna love Devoni.
Mom, I don't need a babysitter. How come we gotta go back to work anyway?
Come on, there's no point in any of us going into this with a bad attitude.
Hi there, you little cutie. Don't you worry about a thing. We're gonna get along great, right, kids?
Okay, you guys, I'll be back before dinner, so it's not that long.
Oh, we're gonna do a lot of neat stuff. I was hoping we could sing a little tune together. You guys like music, huh?
What kind of music?
Well, how about Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass? Oh, sorry. Well, no, I am a nut for the disco beat.
Okay, kids, be good.
Pacing around his cramped enclosure, Beethoven's usual method of escape has been filled in with large rocks. He paws at the ground by the fence. At the factory, George and Alice are meeting with the sharp-suited prospective investors, Brad and Bree.
So you've had some time to think and...
And we've made our decision.
George looks anxious.
We want to get in bed with Newton Auto Air Fresheners.
Excellent. That's great. That's just great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, so
that's great.
We meet with our lawyers today and have the papers drawn up this afternoon.
Oh, great. That's excellent. Excellent.
Let us take you out to dinner, huh? Are there any good restaurants in this burg?
Restaurants. Let's see.
Why don't you just come over to our house? We can barbecue.
Come to our house. We'll barbecue.
Barbecue? Let's live dangerously.
Well, our food may not be great, but it's not dangerous.
I hope it's better than this espresso.
When Mama La down in old New Orleans, strutting her stuff on the street, she said, "Hello, hey Joe, you wanna give it a go? Gitchy, gitchy, ya, ya, da, da."
As the babysitter, middle-aged Devonia, leads a sing-song at an organ for Rice and Ted, Emily wanders outside with a ball where there's a swimming pool. Back at home in his enclosure, Beethoven suddenly becomes anxious. Emily drops her ball in the pool and tries to reach it. She struggles in the water. Beethoven breaks open the enclosure gate and bounds off. Even though she's close by, Devonia can't hear above the music. Emily disappears under the water as Beethoven hurdles a fence like a horse. He hurdles a sunbather in her back garden as he races to the pool, soaring through the air to land in the water. He pushes Emily to the surface and she rides on his back to the edge of the pool. He climbs out and shakes himself off. He goes up to a bedraggled Emily sitting on the pool steps and licks her face.
I love you too. Thanks, Beethoven. You saved my life. But you better go home now. Mom said to stay in the backyard.
You kids might be interested to know that I am a featured performer Saturday nights at the Padded Zebra.
Oh my gosh, Emily's in the pool!
The pool?
Beethoven slips away.
Emily, what are you doing in the pool, young lady? Get out of there this instant. You want to get me into trouble?
Oh, Emily, are you all right?
I fell in.
Oh, Emily, you must have been so scared.
I thought I was gonna die.
Oh, you poor little thing. Now, you were never in any real danger, now were you? Now, we don't want you to get into trouble, so we'll let this be our little secret.
I'd like to call my mother, please.
Your mother?
Immediately.
She must have snuck out while I was watching Ted and Rice. It was hot out, so I guess she wanted to take a little swim.
And where were you while all this was happening?
I was where I was supposed to be, inside, watching the other two. If Emily had stayed where I put her, none of this would have happened.
If you ask me, what these children need is a little discipline.
What these children need is their mother. You're fired.
Honey, it was an accident.
So what?
You can't throw out the option of having a babysitter just because we had a bad one. We'll find somebody really responsible to look after the kids.
Over my dead body.
Oh, come on.
Brad and Bree look bored.
You know, we're fine on our own. You don't have to entertain us.
Sitting across the table from them in the garden, the kids look equally bored.
Do you have any kids?
We have a career.
Big one.
Excuse us.
The kids go inside. Tied up nearby, Beethoven looks glum.
Rats.
Monsters.
If we pull this off, in 6 months, we will own Newton Auto Air Fresheners. Touch it.
They look at the contract.
Sorry for the delay. We got
no problem.
Vegetables. Here you go.
Oh, look at that. Here's the paperwork, Giorgio.
I've got my own chair.
George looks at the contract as Beethoven looks on impassively.
Look at that.
You gonna do that now, honey?
Alicia.
Alice.
I'm sorry, Alice.
Can I have a refill, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
George scans the contract.
Just right down at the bottom there, George.
This is everything we discussed?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's exactly.
Right there at the bottom of the sign, George.
Exactly the same.
Hon, don't sign that now. Why don't we have a little something to eat, and then you can read it over.
Alice, tell me about your dog.
Oh, gee, no.
Well, he's a dog.
Oh, he sure is. Hello, cute, cute.
He's a St. Bernard.
Well, he's a purebred St. Bernard, isn't he?
Hello.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look at that big old tongue you got. Yes. Look at that. Come here. Oh, yeah. You want to come with Mommy and Daddy? Yes, you do, don't you? Oh, come on. Come on. We'll come with Mommy and Daddy. Come on. Come on. Oh, I just love these big, dumb animals.
I bet you do.
Dogs obey so much better than children, don't they?
Come here.
Oh, yes. Come here.
Hello, cute choogy. Oh, Mama just loves those creepy doggy woggies. Yes.
Georgia, places for you to sign.
Yeah,
marked by that blue clip right there. There you go.
This is all standard stuff, huh?
Honey,
yeah.
Are you sure you want a signy whiny right now? I mean, maybe we can.
Oh, Alice, I'm sorry.
I've got that. You be careful. Don't you break a nail.
So sorry.
Be careful. Right down there, where the blue arrow is. Right there, George.
Honey, you sit. I've got this.
Beethoven's lead is tied to Bree's chair.
You guys don't seem to have made a good impression.
I'm crushed.
Me too.
I'll cry all night.
I know. I don't like them either, but these people are real important to Dad's business.
I hope Beethoven slimes that lady's dress.
But of course, if you don't want our capital, we could find another investment somewhere else.
Sure.
No. Beethoven, come on, down.
Giorgio, is there some problem?
No, just...
Did I miss anything?
No, Giorgio has just gone over all the papers, and he's about to sign.
Just standard stuff, really. It's just the main thing.
Oh, you get out of here, you mutt.
Beethoven tears off after the ball.
I pitched in college.
The lead is tied round the table and the guests' chairs, and they're dragged away across the garden. Beethoven hurdles the fence, and stuck in their chairs, Brad and Bree somersault over the fence, and the table lands in front of them as Beethoven retrieves the ball.
Beethoven, stop! Ah! Beethoven! Sister, stop! Stay! Oh, no!
Beethoven takes off down the street, dragging the table and the occupied chairs, with George going after them. That night, Beethoven is locked up in his enclosure. George is sitting alone on one of the two remaining chairs. Alice comes outside, pulling on a baseball jacket. George sighs, looking defeated, and Alice goes up to him, looking weary.
I really don't like our dog.
I really don't like those people, George. I don't trust them. I don't want their money. I know my opinion doesn't matter, but I'm not interested in expanding. If I had been home instead of helping you impress those morons, Emily wouldn't have fallen in the pool. And I'm not re-entering the workforce, George. You're gonna have to do this on your own. And you will. Somehow you'll make your fortune. And tucked away behind you, deep in the shadows, will be me and the kids.
That's how you see me. Suddenly, I'm a lousy husband and father. You know, everything was just fine until Beethoven came into our lives. I've tried to be patient, but I've had it. The dog has to go.
I'm proud of Beethoven. Those two idiots insulted your kids, they treated me like dirt, and he was the only one of us who had the nerve to give them the ride they deserved. I'm going to bed.
My dream's going down the drain, and you're worried about a dog.
Your family's going down the drain, and you're worried about a dream.
The kids have been listening at the door and they scatter as Alice comes back in. Outside, George sits down dejectedly, and so does Beethoven. It's 6:27 in the morning and the kids are sneaking downstairs.
Why do we gotta be so
quiet? Ted covers Emily's mouth with his hand as Rice leads the way to the kitchen. Ted takes Beethoven for a walk, but Beethoven spots something and drags Ted away. Emily empties a sack of dog food into a huge bowl, but most of it goes on the floor. He tucks in. The three kids wash Beethoven in a paddling pool. He shakes himself off, and later Emily drops an egg as she grabs more than she can carry from the fridge. Outside, Rice blow-dries Beethoven. As Ted makes orange juice, Emily makes scrambled eggs. A coffee cup is prepared. George comes down to find a spruce Beethoven wearing a red ribbon. The children wait attentively at the table, and Rice pours a coffee.
Sit down. We made you breakfast, Dad.
Scrambled eggs, just the way you like them.
I said Beethoven.
And we washed him, too.
You should smell him.
I'm gonna walk Beethoven every day. We've divided up the dog chores so that you won't have to do anything for Beethoven from now on.
I see.
Well, is there anything else you need? Anything else at all?
Thank you, I'm fine.
He has a mouthful of scrambled egg.
I dropped part of an eggshell in there. Chew carefully, Dad.
Painful smiles. Later, Rice and Ted are playing Super Mario Brothers.
Okay, fine. All right, Rice, I'm gonna get that thing right there, okay? Okay, that leaves mine.
I get the next one.
Okay, fine. Get that question block.
Be careful with
that. Give me five. Shake.
Ah, Mrs. Newton.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Varnik, the veterinarian. I'm sorry to trouble you, but I wonder if I might come in.
Well, sure, yeah, come on in.
With animals as large as yours, I like to do a follow-up on rabies shots.
Oh, well.
Just to see how he's doing.
I'll tell you, it's really nice of you to come all the way down here.
No trouble at all.
Here you go.
Thank you. I'll only be a moment.
Would you like a lemonade or anything?
Oh, no. No. I'll be fine, thank
all
you.
All right.
Yeah, Beethoven. How are you doing, huh?
He checks that Alice has gone.
Looking good.
He glances round furtively, then takes out some scissors to cut at his sleeve.
Beethoven, this is gonna hurt you a lot more than it hurts me. It's my great benefit, mankind.
He tears at his sleeve as Alice watches from a window. He smears fake blood on his arm and Beethoven's nose. He hits Beethoven.
Help! Emily, what's the matter?
Come on, big stupid mutt. Come on.
George!
Help!
God!
Help somebody! Help! Good boy, good boy.
Beethoven! Beethoven!
Beethoven!
Oh my gosh, look what he did!
Are you all right?
Well, I don't know.
What happened?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He just lunged at me.
That's not true. I saw you. You hit Beethoven.
Emily, please.
Why would I hit Beethoven? I patted him on the head. It's possible that from a distance, the little child.
Liar!
Emily!
No, it's all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everything's all right.
Perfectly natural that the child
would want to defend her dog.
Let's call an ambulance.
No, I'll take care of it. I'm all right.
Oh, my.
I'll take care of this myself.
I'm terribly sorry. I mean, he's never done anything like this before.
So once an animal crosses the line, attacks a human being, you can rest assured he'll do it again. Of course, next time it could be one of your children.
Very, very sorry. Let me.
Mr. Newton, we have a real problem here. The law is very clear when it comes to dealing with this kind of thing. Unless you bring the animal to my office immediately, I'm afraid I'll be forced to press charges.
George nods resignedly.
I'm so sorry.
Varnik drives away in a black Porsche. George goes back inside to his family.
Anything happened to Beethoven? Shh. Dad won't believe because he hates Beethoven. He's always hated Beethoven.
The kids don't see George, but Alice looks at him mournfully, and he turns away looking helpless. Beethoven is in his enclosure, rolling around on the ground. George comes out carrying Beethoven's lead. As George approaches Beethoven, he stops and thinks back to when he was a puppy. Looking solemn, he presses on, and a short time later, he's backing the car out of the drive with Beethoven in the back. Ted opens the front door and sees George driving away.
There's Beethoven! Wait!
The kids run after him, and George sees them in the rearview mirror. Beethoven's leaning out of the rear window, and a tearful Rice watches him disappear off down the street. Beethoven settles down on the back seat. George's eyes keep flitting to the rearview mirror so that he can see Beethoven.
My dad had to take our dog to the vet to be put down. I hated him for it. I'm doing it myself. I know you won't believe me, but I don't want to do this. Understand? It's not your fault.
Later, George's car is parked outside the animal hospital. Alone in his office, Varnik hurriedly wraps a bandage round his right forearm and binds it with tape. He ventures out, pulling on a white coat.
Mr. Newton.
Dr. Varnik.
I know that you're doing the right thing.
I hope so.
Follow me.
George looks down solemnly at Beethoven.
How's your arm?
Oh, it's fine, fine. 37 stitches.
So sorry.
You want the collar and tags? Some people like to keep them.
George nods.
Do you mind? I have the bad wing.
Varnik hands him a choke lead, and George crouches down to slip off Beethoven's collar and lead. George puts the choke lead on Beethoven. Beethoven stares into his eyes.
I'm sorry. You were my dog, too.
George gives him a hug and, looking sinister with his eyes magnified by thick lenses, Varnik smiles.
Sad state of affairs. Sad state of affairs. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on, boy. Come on. In you go.
In. Varnik locks Beethoven in a pen. George trudges glumly to the reception desk.
George Newton.
Yeah, look, we're going to have to charge you for a day's boarding because Jimmy, who handles the lethal injections and disposals, he doesn't work today, so we're going to have to hold the dog overnight. So should we bill you?
Looking distant, George nods. He looks round at the dogs in the waiting room, and they all bow their heads mournfully. George pulls up on the drive. He comes in and finds his family round the dinner table picking up their food, but when they see him, the kids get up and walk out.
Get everything ready. I'll be by in the morning. We'll do the test on him first thing.
All right.
Beethoven is locked up in a cage in the van. Later, Sparky perks up as Beethoven's dragged into the warehouse.
Come on, good doggy, good doggy. Okay, close the door, close the door. Come on. Good doggy, good doggy. Come on. Okay, you got him.
Good, good, good.
Come on. Come on, doggy.
Not you,
come on.
You, the dog.
Oh, get the light going.
Not you, get in. Put him in.
Okay, you got him.
Good, good.
In the cage.
Get in.
Wearing a muzzle, Beethoven thrashes around in a cramped cage.
Shut up!
Yeah. Doc will work on him first thing in the morning. And then there's one dead puppy. Can we eat? Yeah, you hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
How do you feel like? Check it out.
Beethoven slips off his muzzle. Beethoven's enclosure is open and deserted. Clutching the collar and lead, George is sitting on the porch steps next to Alice.
Did I do the wrong thing?
I don't know, honey. Beethoven made this house real. He put the dents in it. I know he slobbered and he smelled bad, but he loved us. Even you.
He smiles weakly.
I just hope your motives were pure and you did this just for the safety of the kids. Because I really hate to think that we sold Beethoven down the river for a piece of carpet or a chance to sell more air freshener.
Come on, it had nothing to do with carpet or air freshener. You saw what he did to the vet.
I know. Yes, but we don't know why he did it. I mean, maybe the vet didn't hit him, but maybe he handled him too roughly or something. George, Emily's really sticking to this. Have we ever known her to attack an adult and accuse him of lying?
No, but why would a vet say something like that?
Well, instead of listening to some guy we've met only twice in our lives, maybe we should try listening to our own child. Honey, please, something doesn't make sense. Can't we just go down there and talk to him?
What do you want me to do? Dr. Varnik, are you sure you didn't hit our dog? Oh, yes, Mr. Newton. I just remembered I did hit your dog. Come on.
You come on, George. Please, it would make me feel better. Let's just go.
I'm coming with you.
So am I.
We're all going with you.
George smiles resignedly. Varnik opens a wall safe laden with cash and adds more.
Thank you.
I'm terribly sorry.
We want our dog back.
Yeah. Beethoven.
All right, kids, let Daddy handle this.
What can I do for you?
We want our dog back.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It's too late. The dog's been destroyed.
No!
Dad!
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I was told this wouldn't happen until tomorrow.
I don't believe you.
Wait!
Come on. Hey! Take your hands off her.
Just jump. What are you...
George grabs Varnik and notices that his arm is uninjured.
I told you he was lying!
What the hell are you trying to pull?
Wait, you can't come in here! This is private property!
Beethoven!
They rush through to the dog pound, but it's empty.
He's not here!
All right, hold it right there!
Here.
You have no right to be in here! Out, all of you!
Where's my dog? You ordered that dog destroyed, and it was done. Now get out. You hit me, I'll have you put in jail for assault and battery.
George lets go of Varnik and starts to turn away. George punches him, and he lands in a pen.
Whoa!
Dad!
Honey.
Wow, that was amazing. Dad, you were awesome. You were
thanks.
Really
so
cool.
Really, hon, I never found you more attractive.
Thanks. I may need an x-ray. And he said our dog bit him on the arm.
But he didn't really bite him. Tell him that.
But there were no bite marks on his arm. So what? What do you mean, so what? I'd like to file a report on you.
What, they're not going to help us?
Not this year.
Shh, Dad. Look, the Kvarnik.
From across the street, they see Varnik locking up and heading for his car.
Let's follow him. Maybe he'll lead us to Beethoven.
Stealthily, George and Alice get into the car.
Hold your door. Shut it.
They synchronize their door slam with Varnik's.
Dad, haven't you ever followed anyone? Turn off your lights.
He turns out the headlights and goes off after Varnik. Sparks and thick smoke spew out of a furnace chimney at Varnik's warehouse. Vernon and Harvey are adding boxes of papers to the furnace.
I think that's the left.
All right, good. We gotta start getting the dogs.
The dogs?
Yeah. He said we gotta destroy all the evidence.
Harvey is momentarily bemused before throwing a box into the furnace as Vernon heads off. Varnik drives along a gloomy, deserted street and pulls into the warehouse yard. The Newtons pull up across the street and watch Varnik getting out of his car with a briefcase. George gets out of the car and checks his watch.
It's 9:30. If I'm not back in 15 minutes, call the police. Don't come in after me.
In a lab, Varnik's filling a syringe as Harvey and Vernon come in carrying jars and a box.
Before you destroy the dogs, bring me the St. Bernard for the ammo test.
Okay.
And bring me a little one for this chemical test.
Sure. I know just the one.
Hurry up.
He's prepared a tray of numerous syringes of different sizes containing colored chemicals. George climbs a fire escape ladder at the side of the warehouse.
Latch.
Vernon grabs Sparky by the scruff of the neck.
Congratulations. You're going to be a pioneer.
Like Davy Crockett, right?
Right.
Beethoven pounds against his cage door and it comes open. Vernon drops Sparky, and he and Harvey flee from Beethoven. He chases them into the lab. Beethoven leaps up at them, knocking over trolleys.
Oh no! Oh no! No! No!
Beethoven sinks his teeth into Vernon's boot. On the roof, George edges towards a skylight above the lab.
I'm saving you! I'm saving you!
Harvey drags Beethoven off Vernon with a dog catcher pole as George watches from above. Varnik comes in.
He pushed me on the ground now. I couldn't get up. He got out of...
George watches intently immediately above them all.
Emily, come on, honey. Here, Rice, take her. Lock the doors. If I'm not back in 15, I'll be back, all right?
Lock the doors, you guys. Lock that one and that one.
Alice scurries to a payphone further up the street. Varnik approaches a restrained Beethoven with the revolver.
Nice. We're gonna have a little field test of this new ammo.
So.
George crashes through the skylight, landing on Harvey and Vernon.
You're a very foolish man, Mr. Newton. You should have left well enough alone.
Sparky dashes in and sinks his teeth into Varnik's crotch.
That was a gun!
Daddy!
Mom, get over here!
There's no time!
Varnik's stray shot in the air sparks a scuffle.
I don't know where. It's a big thing. It's at the warehouse.
Buckle up.
You can't drive!
Ted mats the pavement as he drives towards the warehouse. They crash through the main doors and speed towards the lab. The car crashes into the lab and the tray of syringes are sent flying, hitting Varnik in the chest like arrows. He slides to the floor looking dazed and delirious.
Cool!
Dad!
Oh!
Dad! Dad! My baby! Dad! Are you all right? Are you all right?
Beethoven!
Oh. Beethoven! Oh, my
God!
What a good doggy!
George! George! Oh, my God!
Be careful!
Is everyone alone?
Oh, yeah! Where were you?
I was shopping, George! I called the police!
I jumped through the thing! I fell on the guys! I knocked the guy out!
Varnik passes out. They release all the caged dogs. Harvey and Vernon scurry out on their hands and knees, but Sparky alerts Ted to their escape. Sparky leads the way, and a pack of dogs of all sorts of different sizes and breeds chases after them. They go off down a side street and through a busy fruit and veg market. Vernon shoves a guy onto a display of cabbages and the green torrent slows up the dogs momentarily.
Oh my God! Out of our way!
They dash out of the market and reach the tall chain fence of a scrapyard.
Come on, come on! Over the fence!
They clamber over the barbed wire-lined fence, separating themselves from the pack.
It's very far.
May your feeble-minded mongrel stupid doggy never! You'll never get me! Never! Stupid, stupid doggy! Oh, stupid! You little mangy thing! And you, you little one! Never! Never! You little mangy... What?
They find themselves facing four vicious-looking Dobermans that have emerged from the shadows of the scrapyard. They look at each other and squeeze hands as the Dobermans charge.
The final chapter of a horror story for animal lovers concluded at County Courthouse today. Ruth Walters has the details.
Animal lovers everywhere cheer today when Dr. Herman Varnek and two associates were indicted on 123 counts of animal abuse. Ooh,
scientific investigation!
And leading the cheers were the Ring's unlikely captors, the Newton family of Valley Vista.
Yeah!
You know, I had no choice but to do what I did. Beethoven is not just some dog that wandered in off the street. He's a member of our family, and we love him very much.
Have you always been a dog lover?
Maybe not as much as now. Thank you.
This is Ruth Walters reporting from County Courthouse.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
Okay, guys, let's go to bed.
Oh, and we have to.
It's been a long day.
Ma'am. Good night, Daddy. You're the best.
Good night. Come
on. Good night, Anna.
Good night,
Anna.
Good night, sweetheart.
Say good night, Daddy. Good night, stay up.
You are up. Hello? Yeah. Oh, yeah, hold on 1 second. Rice. Who's calling? Rice!
Don't stay on too long.
Okay. Dad, who is it?
Somebody who saw you on TV. Mark something.
Mark. Hello? Yeah. No.
Good night, Spark.
Good night, Mitch.
Good night, Murphy.
Good night, Sally.
Good night, Lacey.
Good night, Fred.
Good night,
Donnie. Good night,
Ellie. Their room is full of dogs. Audio description written and narrated by Michael Woodford for Iuno Media Group. Cast: George Newton, Charles Grodin, Alice Newton, Bonnie Hunt, Dr. Varnick, Dean Jones, Rice, Nicole Tom, Ted, Christopher Castile, Emily, Sarah Rose Carr, Harvey, Oliver Platt, Vernon, Stanley Tucci, Brad, David Duchovny, Bree, Patricia Heaton, Devonia Pete, Laurel Cronin, Biker Woman, Olan Jones, Miss Grundle, Nancy Fish, Homeless Man, Craig Pinkard, Mark, Robbie Davidson, Reporter, Sherry Paysinger, Bully Number 1, Patrick Lebrecht, Bully Number 2, Jacob Kenner, Bully Number 3, Matthew Brooks, Newsreader, Chris Little, Donna, Lisa Gerber, Mark's Friend, Corey Danziger, Young Woman, Colleen O'Hara, Young Man, Nicholas Mize, Old Woman, Maxine Elliott, Young Woman, Stephanie Massman, Skateboarder Number 1, Kira Clofton, Skateboarder Number 2, Chad Morton, Pet Shop Owner, Melora Walters, Nurse Number 2, Holly Wartle, Mother at Pet Store, Lorraine Marger, Student Number 1, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Student Number 2, Andres McKenzie, and Chris as Beethoven.